Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How are you doing, Chris?
Yep, very well, very well. Back in the studio on a Wednesday. We're starting to string a couple of Wednesdays together, I think. Or maybe it was Thursday last week, who knows. But what I'll tell you one thing about the studio right now, with our daylight savings quickly coming to an end, I don't need the aircon on.
Yeah, I know. It's been terrible this week. And I can't wait for daylight savings to end. I start at 7 and it's like pitch black at 7. It's very frustrating. So bring that on. Can't wait.
Yeah, a week to go.
What's news with you?
Obviously enjoying the pleasures of being on school holidays. Spent the long Easter weekend up in Dalesford, chilling with the family, which was really nice. Theo undertook his first egg hunt. He needed a little bit of help. I won't be helping him in future years, but he needed a little bit of help to find the eggs. But I taxed him accordingly and ate most of his chocolate. So
very nice.
That's all good. What about yourself?
I'm just G'd up for the NCAA tournament and couldn't care less about the men's bracket. Don't know any of the players. Couldn't care less about any of that stuff. But the women's bracket is excellent. And there's some big names in women's college basketball at the moment, and they all end up facing each other in the Elite Eight just before, which is pretty dope. The two biggest names made it through, surprise, surprise, and they're about to face each other in the Final Four. So I'm pretty geared up for that this weekend. I don't really normally watch the college basketball, but yeah, when it's Paige Bueckers versus Caitlin Clark, you got to tune in.
Get around it. You know, I'm big into that myself, and
yeah, I bet.
You know, I think I saw did one of them shoot like 9 3-pointers the other
day?
Yeah,
Caitlin Clark, she's a beast.
Oh, bang! Look at me, I actually knew something.
Yeah, no, she's a beast. She's a freak. So yeah, cool to watch. I've been paying attention to that, but other than that, nothing much. Enjoyed my long weekend, slept a bunch, and got out to play Invali Gold.
Oh yes, now I told you it's playing easy. So how low did you go?
Well, my PB before was negative seven, plus seven, and now it is still plus seven. It's still very tough for me. I definitely see the clearing out. Like, they've definitely cleaned it up a bit, but I don't know. I haven't seen, there's no, like, trees or anything down. It's still, the lines are still the same lines, and I still throw into trees. So I went plus 10 and plus 8, which, I mean, I hate, but that's what I always shoot, anywhere between 7 and 12. So I don't know. It's to be expected. I need to get out more. I want to try to get out this weekend, the weekend after. Really try to nut out what's going on, and I don't know. Just got to try to get par in every hole. And it'd be amazing.
Yeah. Nah, a fair point on, like, the no trees being down. They're still, yeah, it's still tight. I just found that, my experience has just been, like, when I've hit those trees, I've then been able to just kind of imagine a shot. And where previously I haven't even been able to imagine a shot.
Yeah. No, I get you. The rough definitely isn't as rough, for sure. So that could be part of it. But part of it, I think, is just we're just better now, Chris, right? Isn't that what we're discovering? Australian disc golf is just better?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Did you get out there as well?
I didn't get out to Invali this weekend, but I did get up to Mount Xavier. Now, while we're on the topic of Mount Xavier, I'm just loving that joint. Me and Jacob went and did 3 laps. Best I could muster was a minus 2 through the 9 holes. Just for every birdie I got, I just found a bogey on the next hole. And that just sums it up so good. Every hole is so birdieable, but every hole is so bogeyable. Like, I think I came back with a gold minus 7 and a brown plus 5. Basically bogeyed every other hole and birdied them all, including there was a par 5 when I first played it. It's now correctly listed as a par 4. Mm. It's definitely a 4.5. And I 3'd it. And I'm very chuffed that I 3'd it. Because when I went and got my minus 5 there, that included a double bogey on that hole when I got my minus 5.
Yeah, wow.
So it was only a bogey at the time because obviously I was playing as a par five. But yeah, now if I call it correctly, I doubled that and got a minus five, but managed to birdie it on the weekend, which I'm very, very chuffed with.
Yeah, very nice. I still haven't made it out, but I'm very keen to, but I fear it won't happen until after the Vic Open, because I think any spare time that I have that has an hour and a half driving each way will get me to Invalid. Just because, I just still need to nut it out. I'm definitely starting to change my perspective on a couple of things and change a few discs, I think. Most of the holes are set. I know exactly what I want to do and how I want to play them, but there's definitely still a few holes that I don't really understand. Like, I don't know how to throw a tee shot on hole three. Like, I really don't know. My best effort now, I think, is just my flippy buzz. Because it doesn't matter anything else. My flippy FD still ends up left. And it's just terrible there. So I think it's just a flippy buzz and just try to stay middle and get whatever distance I can and go for there. But yeah, I don't know. Just like fully giving up on the hole. Like, I know I can't birdie that one, so may as well throw a mid off the tee. But yeah, I don't know. Hole one as well. Man, I was trying some crazy stuff. I threw a pretty nice rollo off hole one. Got into the sweet spot. But I don't think that hole one plays a little different when it's the first hole of your Vic Open round. So I don't think the roller is going to come out for that. I think the buzz might be the flippy buzz might be the go off that as well. So
Jacob busted out the roller a bunch at Xavier.
Oh, yeah.
And what he was doing with it on a few holes, and I have to wonder how this would play out for you at hole three at Invalid, was he was just ripping them out on hyzer just to like air them out, not to throw a roller. And yeah, I wonder how it would fly if you ripped it on hyzer on hole three, the roller.
No, I tried that and yeah, it doesn't. Jacob and I throw discs a little bit different. He also throws like real flippy mambas that go straight. So I'm not saying I'm a big boy, but I can't do things with discs. Flippy discs like Jacob does things with flippy discs. I did try the rollo on hole three, but it is there. The angle's not right. I thought it would be a good disc for it, and it does sort of just, I can get it just to get down, but it still is on a bit of angle and then the hill. So it ends up just shooting it off to the left anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's not my best option there, but I definitely tried it on a bunch of holes at Invalid. It could come in handy. I just gotta work on it. Hole nine maybe too. Hole nine just kills me at Invalid. I can never par it. It's so frustrating.
I got the dirtiest par on hole nine. Did I actually play it on the weekend with Daz?
Yep, definitely. That's why I was curious. Why. I think you got out on Good Friday.
Ah, sick. All right. I did get down there. I managed another even. Only because I friggin' found the OB on my second shot on hole 18.
Oh, really? So
yeah.
You got all the way out and then...
The way out. And I wasn't, to be honest, I wasn't really even trying to attack the green. But the Wraith just went. And I thought I was going to be short enough left. I was like, that's all right. I was a pretty shit shot, but I'll be short left. Nowhere near up near the OB. But nah, wrong was I. Right up near the OB. So... circle two in two, and obviously just pitched up and took the bogey, and yeah, that's otherwise I was one under. Me and Daz were both one under.
I know.
Going into 18,
it's amazing.
Daz had, he missed five circle one putts, and I'm not gonna say that many of them were outside 7 meters.
Wow.
Like he missed like 5 7 or 8 meter putts, and. Yeah, had a bunch of circle two gettables. Like, we did the maths. He had 13 looks at birdie on Invalid Gold.
That's messed up. That's so messed up.
It was
up.
Such a good round. I couldn't, like, we were tied going into the 18th, but I had my pants down. Like, he was smashing me. Like, in every facet of the game, bar the putting green, he was absolutely smashing me. So it was the weirdest situation where the scorecards had us equal, but I'd like had absolutely like, if we were playing skins, I'd lost all my money. It felt like he beat me on every hole, but he didn't beat me. Anyway, back to hole nine. I can't even do this justice on air, but I'm going to try. There's like a tree that's in the middle of the fairway that a lot of people hit. But before that tree, there's a couple other trees that are like not really in play, but I just absolutely creamed one of them and shot off 40 meters to the left. To the point where my second, I was kind of forced to take a sidearm and throw it like just perpendicular to the hole. Like, so I'm not even like going towards the green at this stage. I'm just like throwing across, trying to go to the fairway. However, I'm throwing my Westside King. So I'm flicking it for a big turnover. And it just does absolutely sexy things and goes right where you want a good drive to go, like down into that gully.
Yep.
And literally pitches itself up against the last tree in that gully, like at the bottom of that gully. Sorry. So I'm about to throw my third, and we're not even up to Daz's drive yet. And I am forced, because of where I've landed my drive, to go, like, I could hyzer onto the fairway, but I'm like, I want to save par. Like, everything that I'm doing these days is all about saving par. So I mark my disc, pick up my Westside King, and just throw this outrageous turnover, 140-meter glorious shot to pin high, 9 meters right, and then jag the putt.
That's crazy. That's such a good shot. And jag the putt.
Daz proceeds to, like, throw a 6-second to about 7 meters, and then dongs the band.
Doink.
And also, and taps in his par, and we take the same score on that hole. And I'm like, how the hell am I doing this?
You easily threw an additional 100 meters.
Oh, and then some. Like, where my drive landed, like, oh my God, so gross.
That's wild. Well, there you go. At least now you know you can birdie it.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, here's another situation where, like, how the hell have I parred this from here? No, so sorry, I did play Invalid, got another even. So I think that's two evens in a row for me.
Yeah, it is. I'm very impressed. It's not like seeing your scores. I was like, okay, cool. Like, you know, you haven't exactly been up and about lately. So I was like, he's, you know, if he's getting that, then maybe it is just better. It is just more playable. And I just couldn't. To me, it's exactly the same. I just kept hitting trees, and I'm like, oh, if you just didn't hit so many trees, like, you could shoot even. And I'm like, yeah, but I'll definitely hit the trees. So, I don't know. And a couple of weird, hole 8 got me a double bogey on one of the rounds. Just hit that. Yeah, like, I threw, I want to say, 5 attempts on hole 8, because after the first round, and I took a massive tree kick because I hit the first tree. Like, there's a gap, and there's a tree on the left. I hit the first tree, kicked to a horrible spot. Just got worse from there. And then the second round, I hit it again. So I was like, I'll take that shot, but I need to get this drive right. And I tried, like, 3 more, and I hit that tree every time. And I'm like, I don't understand what I'm doing here. I just can't not hit that tree. So that hole makes no sense. You birdied it. Anyway, I've got some weird chump stats. So I took stats for myself. This is my better round, the plus 8 round.
Yes.
It is 70% driving. So not bad at Invalid, I would think.
Yes.
100% C1X. Putting was good.
Yep. This is big. That's big.
For my plus 8 here.
Yep.
0% C2. This was a bit, this is where it starts getting real chumpy. 0% C1 in regulation. Not once did I get a circle 1 birdie look. But C2 on regulation, however, also 0%. I never had a circle 2 birdie look in 18 holes.
That's chumpy.
It's super chubby. That's why my C1X putting was so good. They were all really close.
Yeah. Just getting a circle 3 a lot and then put it under.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I don't know. Oh, wow. It was so bad. So a lot of tap-in pars and bogeys. I don't know. That was my better round. You know what I mean? That's one stroke worse than the best I've ever played.
I'm happy to wear 0% C1 at Invalid Gold. Like, you don't want it, but I'll happily wear it. But you don't want you don't want 0% circle two in regulation. No. That's not a stat you want.
No, not given a chance. But I think I did figure a couple of things out. The forehand, I didn't do a lot, but it's my play on 17 now. Not a hard forehand, just a delicate forehand. Just beat Gandalf, take a three. I think I did that twice, and I'm pretty excited about that. Not taking a bogey on 17 is like, that's real big for me.
Yeah, nice. You're a big forehand guy now.
Yeah, it's here. And 16 as well. Like, not trying anything, just throwing a buzz straight down the middle, finishing left and short, and then little upshot for a par. I've been trying to figure out how to do that for a while. I don't know why, but it's taken me so long. But, yeah, if I can, oh, man, if I can clean up 16, 17. And the flippy buzz on hole 18, I got all the way to the end of the tunnel.
All day.
So I'm, the 16, 17, 18 are my biggest plagues for sure. The 1, 2, 3 start is also pretty bad, but 16, 17, 18 are the biggest plagues. So I did some work there, I think, and that's long run, that's going to help me out.
That's sick. I just want to jump back into Chump Stats for a second and give you a little comparison with Daz's minus one at Invalid Gold. So circle two in regulation, 72%. and for circle
that's
one,
wild.
He managed 20. Yeah. And for circle one, he managed 28.
That's so good.
Yeah.
But what was the putting stats?
Yeah, not as good. Putting C1X, 67%.
Yeah.
And C2, he hit a C2 putt. He got 13%.
Nice.
Yeah. And so like that's a perfect scenario to like comparison with mine. Like only me, our circle ones were pretty similar. My circle one was 22%. My circle two was only 28%. But my putting was 86%. So I just, that's why their scores were so close. I was just beating him on the green.
Nice. As always, that's very predictable round by you.
Yeah.
Nah, okay. Hopefully the weather doesn't suck and I'll get out there again. I think you're trying to get out on Friday, right?
Correct. Yeah. I might actually go down for more than one round. I tell you what, I've been paying $15 a round. Invalid have been doing well out of me.
Nice. Yeah, no, you got to get more rounds in. I played two laps and then did 12 holes of the whites. And so I went plus 10, plus 8. And I wasn't just playing shit. In the whites through 12 holes, I was neg 2.
There you go.
So playing all right. Just a lot of trees.
Yep.
A lot of trees. I don't know. We'll see how we go. I've got a pretty cool update. I meant to mention it last week and I completely forgot. But some pretty exciting news from, who was I staying with? Jason Verdome. Somehow it came up about the Street League and how they have a Street League in Queensland. And I was like, oh, did Dennis start it? And he's like, yeah. So, I don't know if I mentioned... I might have mentioned this a while ago on the pod, or at least to you.
On the pod, yes. This is ringing bells. You definitely did. Yep.
Yeah, you remember Dennis Ludwig? He was a Melbourne member for a while. He hit me up. Yep. And he asked because he thought it was our thing, because we were talking about it on the pod. I just sent him... Told him, nah, this is Daz's baby. I sent him Daz's rules. Sort of told him, you know, how we're doing it and all this stuff. They've started one. And it's a little bit different because... They've got a weird setup over there where it's pretty territorial from actually what I'm hearing. That basically when a course opens up, like a club is formed and then that course is that club sort of setup. And they to the point where it's actually pretty pretty weird. I think one of the courses is flooded and so another club wants to run an event on this other course and they're like, you have to ask our permission. And you're like, no, I fucking don't. You don't own the course, you piece of shit. Anyway, that politics aside, that has been the foundation for their Street League. So those course have now made like a Street League team for each one. And it sounds like they're having a lot of fun with it. So I think they're a couple weeks in and yeah, I might have to hit up Vito at some stage to get an update. Because I think it's pretty cool. So Well done to the Queensland guys. Well done to Dennis, and well done, Daz. You're trending.
Yeah, look out. I might bring it to the next pod, but there's some mobs in the States that are getting around it as well, trending real hard. Someone hit me up on socials, Tony Megan. This is the SCSCX Disc Golf LLC, the National Disc Golf Team League. It's going to be all over the States. They're asking for registrations now. Our upcoming league will officially begin once we have reached the. They're expecting to get 1,000 registered teams. And while uniting 10,000 of players across the country in a spirited competition for, guess the price, Percy.
Oh, $1,000. I mean, 1,000 teams. Sorry, 1,000 teams and a bit of cash into that. Oh, I bet you got to factor in disc golf just rapes people for their money. I don't know,
Yep.
10 grand?
Yeah, that's a nice guess. Add a couple of zeros. They're going to play for $1 million.
Woo-wee! Let's
Yeah.
go.
Yep.
That's cool. How do we get involved in that?
I know. I'll send you the link. We can register. We just got to pretend we're in a. Maybe we can pretend we're from Alaska or something.
Yeah, nice. Perfect.
Funny Alaskan accents.
Oh, that's good. All right, so we're no strangers from stealing shit straight from tour life. And I
Correct.
see you've got a couple of things written down here.
Yes.
I haven't made it that far yet. I did my obligatory skip through the beginning until I hear Yuli's voice.
Yep.
And then that's when the pod begins for me. And I've gotten through the Missy Gannon stuff. I'm about an hour or something in, and still nothing on the two topics that you've got on. So, is that you want to go with them now, or is that
Yeah,
post?
let's do it.
Yeah.
No, let's do it. All
All
right,
right.
let's do it. So, let's just touch on this. So, Nico LeCastro, via Facebook, didn't do it via Instagram, which I thought was interesting, but via Facebook, he's got some lavender blend seed discs available, made through Sacred Discs, right? How's this? I'm going to support the growth of women's disc golf. Starting this weekend, I will pay the first person who misses cash in FPO due to playing against transgender athletes.
Yeah, big. Starting a whole company just to do that.
Yep.
Odd for mine. Like I understand that's his stance on it. I just think it's, and I understand what he's doing because this person's missed out or whatever. But I don't know. Odd. Not surprising come from him because he's odd. But it just seems an odd way to go about it. But
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Look, what they said on their potty, and just to steal straight from them, I
Yeah,
think it makes
definitely.
a lot of sense. Is like no one, like other than spiritually and emotionally, no one really loses out here because Natalie still gets paid, and someone else gets paid, and like last cash, at these events is like 500 and something bucks.
Yep.
It's not $30. So he's having to cough up, half a grand. He's gonna, I assume he's gonna look to do this every weekend. He better sell a lot of discs.
Yeah, exactly. Or he could be in some strife.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, I see that. Like it's a not a zero game. Zero, oh, you know what I mean. It's not like it
Yeah.
takes away from anything, but I don't know, just odd. It's an odd protest. But yeah, and it could cost him some money, but well,
And
Nico does Nico things.
Natalie shat the bed this weekend, and I fucking tipped her. And so I'm blaming Nico. I'm blaming Nico hard for that. So cheers, Nico. Chilling my tipping.
What if,
We'll come to
yeah, sorry. What if Natalie is the first person to miss cash?
that.
What
Yes.
does he do there?
Oh my God. That would have been the best.
Yeah, interesting. Nico doing Nico things.
And the other one that I stole from the potty is just Brody stealing from me, to be honest. I've been on about this for a couple of weeks now. But Brody's absolutely lost it at the PDGA and dropping new disc and this whole Stat Mando saga and how the stats aren't working and how you still can't favorite players, et cetera, et cetera. He's like, I gave a couple of weeks grace. It's been a couple of weeks. We're still putting up with the same shit show. And yeah, he just went off on one. Basically just saying that they're a joke and he agrees with Throllers. And thanks for the support, Brody.
Yeah, it's it. Avid listener, Brody. So yeah, cheers to that, buddy. Yeah, it's wild. I don't know how they don't have their shit together. It's crazy. What are they doing with all our PGA money? All our fees?
Yeah, that's what he's wondering.
Interesting. All right, well, we should check into the disc golf, hey? Because the, what was it? The Open in Austin? No, that's not it. Texas State Championship.
Texas States.
Was on. Did you get a chance to watch any of it?
I did. Bonkers.
Sick.
Did you get to watch it?
Nah, I slept really well this weekend. So I kept waking up and it was over. So that was a bit disappointing. I know my FPO tip let me down pretty aggressively and I'm pretty mad at it. Who did I have? Holland Hanley. So fought back a little bit, but yeah, a big start and then just dropped right off. Ended up in 8th place, and she's too good. That's so annoying. How are you giving me 8th place? You're one of the best players in the FBO. So disappointed with that. But, Tatar, again, bested.
Who did you tip in the MPO just quickly?
I'll never tip him again, I don't think. He's killed you. Who killed you the hardest this year?
Well, Calvin.
Oh, no. Why, Calvin at least got you some points, didn't he? Where did he come?
34th.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty bad. Or Sausage. I was thinking Sausage.
Oh, yeah. He scraped cash. Or something for me. Yeah, he did badly as well. But no, yeah. Calvin killed me.
That's true. No, I picked Sausage. He did well there last year. He's been playing okay, but nah. He was trash, and then excellent in the final round.
Yeah, I see that. Okay.
Yeah, which brought me back up. But yeah, 27th, not good enough. How about you?
In the MPO, I tipped Anthony Barella.
Oh, well, that would have worked out pretty well for you because he won.
Yeah, pretty well. 17 players tip better than me.
Yeah, tipping comp's fucked, bro.
So I tipped the winner in one of the fields. There is only 2 fields, and 17 players tip it. 17 players tip better than me. It's not even an exaggeration. 17. The actual fuck?
Tough. You should have kept it like a few years ago when it was just you and like 2 other chumps, and you just
win. I shouldn't have invited anyone to this
silly
game. Anyway, it was a flip of the coin. I nearly tipped Anakin Christiansen-Steen.
Oh, did you? You were close?
Yeah, I was so close. I'm like, she's on one. Oh, I got to tip her, surely.
Yeah, for sure. Never even heard of her before.
Nah. 16th, 16th, 28th, 1st.
Bang. And 1,000 rated rounds across the board.
Huge.
Yeah, huge. Massive. With Tatar chasing you, like, how do you not just shit your pants and give up?
Yeah, nah, very, very, very impressed. I'm just having a quick look at her 2023. She actually got a 5th at Waco.
Okay.
So and the Memorial, it's not DG Pro Tour, she got 3rd. But yeah, at a Pro Tour event, she managed a 5th last year. No other top 10s in a Pro Tour event. And now she has a win. Huge.
Yeah, huge win. And Tatar, she's only 1 from like 4 now this year. But
yeah, she's
I don't...
washed up.
Yeah, she's washed up. I think the last tournament was pretty bad for her, but this one had to be close to 1,000 rated golf. If I'm doing the math in my head, 60, 80, 90. Yeah, I think she played like a 1,000 rated weekend. And gets rolled. That's pretty tough in the FBO.
Yeah, exactly. She had exactly 1,000 rated. Yeah, it's just that someone had a 1,006 rated event.
Yeah.
Similarly with On Scoggins, she she's had a 997 event, but whatever her name was, I've already forgotten her. Anakin killing it. Mm. Is that a Star Wars character?
Yeah. Yeah, I did not know that. Of course, that's a Star Wars.
I've never seen any Star Wars.
Oh wow, we don't have time to get into that. I don't think.
One of these people.
That's crazy. That's full throwing me for a loop, but. As you said, those three players well ahead. Missy Gannon coming off that major win, like played well, but got smoked in fourth place. So, yeah, you can't just shoot 1,000 rated golf anymore and expect to win in the FPO. It's a little bit like the big Aussie NPO fields.
Exactly, exactly.
1,000's not good enough anymore. So, good to see.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
So back to the MPO. So we had Perella win. One stroke victory is what I'm looking at. Was it tight down the finish?
Yeah, so there was a stretch. There was a stretch between hole 10 and hole 14 where which is just five holes, and he gave up six strokes. Yeah, he gave up six strokes to Gannon Burr in five holes. He had, I think, going into the back nine. Yeah, I'm getting this right, I'm pretty sure. Going into the back nine, he still had Gannon by eight shots. And in the end, he only beat him by one.
That's crazy. Yeah, we gave up seven strokes that round.
Yeah.
That's nuts. 1,102 rated final round for Gannon Burr. So, that kid's messed up.
Yeah, exactly. So, obviously, AB set the course record the day earlier with a minus 16, which is just horrific.
Oh, wow. Damn.
Yeah. Minus 16, exactly. 11.06 or whatever it was. Just an outrageous round. But then if the final day was even windier, and, like, the commentary is out saying that Gannon's 15, given the conditions and the situation, possibly a better round, even though a shot off the pace to AB's course record.
Yeah, wow, there you go. I believe it.
Yeah.
But yeah, what a bet. Like, so AB, to win by one stroke, to win a tournament by one stroke, he had 1075, 1106, and 1049 rated rounds.
Yeah.
That's so messed up. The competition's way too good right now.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Ezra Aderhold, he's coming third with a 1066 event.
Yeah. What's he doing up there? He's not a third kind of guy.
Yeah, nah, just sick event for him. Absolutely sick event. Missed some putts too. I want to say it was round two I was watching live. He was two down through four, or I could say he was one down through three, and the two missed putts were like easily inside 6 meters, if not closer. And I was just like, oofed. He had a bogey because of a missed putt, and then he did miss the putt on hole four as well. I was like, this is pretty gross. And then he charged after hole six and got like all of them round two. So yeah, sick event for Ezra as well.
Yeah, very nice. So talk about missed putts. You've got hole four final round for Gannon. What happened there? So surely he couldn't have had a missed putt on that round.
No, he didn't. He didn't have a missed putt. He putted too hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a definite argument to be had. So you can't just throw it as hard as you want. Like, basket's got to catch him.
Yeah. It was dead center, and it came straight back at him. And I'm sure if he could find... Here's the funny thing. In those exact conditions, if he throws that exact putt 100 times, it catches zero times. If you can replicate exactly as he threw it in the exact same conditions, it never catches. So I'm not in the field of it being a good putt. It's far too hard. It hits pole and comes straight back out. I'm in the Paul Ullabarri camp here, where you putting is a finesse aspect of the game, and you got to get it in. You got to lay it in. You can't just rip a basketball through the backboard and smash the glass and go, should that count? No, you've got to put it in. And it's the same with disc golf.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I've seen that video. It looks pretty brutal, but I agree with you too. Like, you just can't putt that hard on some of these baskets and maybe some of those conditions. Like you said, was the wind sort of pushing back against it?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
is
exactly.
Going into a headwind?
Yeah.
If you're going into a headwind and then you putt so hard that it hits the pole and it has a little bit of bounce back and the wind pushes it back, like that. Yeah, I don't know. You just can't putt that hard on some of these baskets. Like, some of them are designed to take more in the middle and some aren't. So, yeah.
I want to segue that into the new rad baskets that are kicking around at Xavier.
Yeah, okay, cool. Let us know. I haven't played on any of them yet.
I'm not sold on them. Jury's out for me. And I'm a little worried. They've got three sets of chains. I'm a little worried they're trying to accommodate for firm putting, which I'm just not here for. If that's part of the design process, was we need to catch more of this putting style, I'm not here for it. Because what I'm finding is that the chains don't even look to accept some putts that are pro side, weak side. Some, like, Jacob made a putt, didn't catch on the weekend, and he was like, the basket didn't even think about trying to catch that. And it was just like this soft putt that was too far right or whatever, and a lot of baskets wouldn't have caught it. But just because of how dense the chains are playing, kind of like a wall, it was almost like the chains wanted to reject the putt. It was like, nope, you're not coming in here. And yeah, I don't know. Jury's out for me. I'm not saying either way. I'm just saying I'm not sold on them yet.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I'm sitting with the Rad 3s at the moment.
So they're a bit, like, you need to have a bit of pace behind it for the chains to actually start crumpling. Otherwise, you're just going to bounce off them.
I think so. That's how I'm reading them early.
Yeah, wow. Well, we're going to have to get pretty acquainted to them, because I'm pretty sure they're getting 18 new Rad V3s for the Vic Open, right?
That's what I'm hearing.
Interesting. All right, yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that. Like I said, I won't get out to Xavier, I don't think. Where is that the only place they are at the moment that you know?
Yeah, that I know of, yeah. Can't wait to see. I look forward to seeing a firm putt on them. I haven't,
like,
seen
Ryan
it yet.
Hart.
So, we know who they are. Ryan Hart, Dylan Feldman, a couple of guns can definitely throw them at the chains a fair bit. They're two that come to mind. That I could be completely wrong. They might hate hard putting. It might hate hard putting more than it hates soft putting. I don't know.
just might hate putting.
Yeah.
No, it won't be great if the new baskets don't like putting. It could be an issue. Yeah, interesting. Definitely want to keep an eye on then.
Yes.
A couple of notables back to the tourney. Yuli in 11th place. He's having a good start to the year.
Six start, yeah. 10:40 event or something, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's big. Good work, Paul.
And Matty Oram, he's having another great start of the year. Fourth, I think he's been like top 10 every event, something like
this
that.
This guy's the new Johnny McRae.
Yeah, exactly.
And no, he really is. He's just hanging her about. I don't think he's ever going to go anywhere.
No, I don't think so either. I hated him at the start, my start of watching disc golf.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, I hate how this guy throws. I hate every part of it. I thought the glasses thing was stupid and all of it. But I'm coming around. I don't mind Matty O now. I like the guy. He's a nice guy.
He's a legend. I've
just been a bully.
Yeah, I think he'd be such good value. But yeah, he's having a sick season. That's, yeah, good to watch. He's definitely a crowd favorite for sure.
Isaac Robinson down in 22nd, Simon Lizotte in 27th. I just just ahead of Jeremy Colling. Like, isn't Simon good? Like,
Not
I
at
thought
the
that guy
moment.
was, he's meant to be good. Doesn't he sell
Yeah.
a billion discs a year?
He does, yeah. That
Right?
helps.
Like, he's just getting rolled by Randy Duke.
Good old
Know
Randy
what I
Duke.
mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, him and his mate Eagle. Does Eagle even play? Like, or do
Nah,
I just
Eagle,
not know?
Eagle's literally not playing at the moment.
Yeah, okay. There you go. So, to me, that's the same thing.
Your mate Garrick, GG's not listening either. Guess where GG finished?
Gargurthy, oh, he no any cash again?
62nd.
Oh boy, come on, mate. What have I got to do? I'm not buying one of his discs. Not buying one of his discs. What else? Any other sort of names? Nicholas Antola in 67th? What?
Imagine,
What
yeah,
happened
so
there?
a couple of guys tipped him in our tipping comp.
Oh, cop that.
Think someone might have tipped him and still got more points than me.
That's hilarious.
No, not really, but still, they're the only people that for me to tip better than you, not only did I have to
Yeah.
tip the winner, you had to tip 67th. Jesus Christ.
That's gold. Nothing, no one too devastating down the bottom. But
Scott Stokely, DNF.
yeah, well, he's an old man, so
Yep.
that happens. After
It
a
does.
1,000 rated first round, so yeah, he'll be all right.
Yep.
Cool. All right, if we oh, I see Team Great Britain selection. What
Yes.
am I looking at there?
All right. So you're looking at a couple of things. You're looking for a call out from me in a moment, and I wear many hats. You know, we coined the phrase volunteer harder, and then I found
Yeah.
myself volunteering the hardest. And I'm on the Australian team selection committee, and we'll have a meeting coming up pretty soon, actually, after the April rating update. And we'll be finalizing that team very soon. So watch
Oh,
this
okay.
space. But just in a crazy turn of events, I found myself on another nation's team selection committee.
Yeah, how'd that shake out?
That's so. I just a friend of a friend, an old mate from back in my London days, hits me up, just checking if I knew any females on the Australian disc golf scene that might carry a UK passport. And I'm like, no, not off the top of my head. I don't know any British girls on the Australian disc golf scene. I know a few dudes, but not knowing any girls. But I'll put the call out. So I start putting the call out, and because I replied to him saying, "Oh, I know a couple of dudes, but no girls," he's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, hold the phone! I also need an MPO player," and just one man came to mind straight away. Who do you reckon I've thrown in their direction?
Has to be G Train, right?
It has to be G Train. Absolutely has to be G Train. So, yeah. Anyway, I've linked those two fellas up, James and Gareth, and yeah, look out, Team Australia. You might have to face up against one of our own.
What do you think the backlash will be if Gareth ends up taking down like a pretty good matchup against someone else that you've selected for the Australian team? What if he is like it's him versus Aussie D and I don't know, Aussie just goes out of bounds on something, starts losing it, needs to get an ace on this one, and Gareth just stays in the fairway, gets a couple birdies, bang.
I've done my job. I've done
Oh,
my
you've
job.
done your job.
Hopefully, I just
Yeah.
set up a good competition.
Oh, nice, nice.
Hopefully,
Nah, that'd
Kavitra's
be
over here.
cool. Exactly. Nah, that'd be cool. I hope he gets on board that. That'd be fun. And he'll love it. He'll think it'd be hilarious.
And so, James, I'm sure James Luton is a big listener, and he will obviously, I'm assuming he's team captain. He's been one of England's best players for a very long time. I think his dad's maybe even in the like WIF Diff Hall of Fame. So he's like a he's got disc golf running in the blood, James Luton. Anyway, he's like, oh, tell me about his CV. And I know James and I know Gareth, so I knew there was only one thing I needed to say. And I just said he's pretty good value once he's on the piss. And James is like, send me his details. Send me his details.
I love it.
Yeah.
That could be, this could be the best thing you've actually done for Australia disc golf, though, because, yeah, Gareth, if you, Gareth gets people going. Gareth's a pusher.
Yeah.
So he might have some real late nights going for the Great Britain team. So
I don't
that might
think
be
they
the
need,
best thing.
I don't think they need much pushing. I actually checked in with Daz. Daz scored one of their jerseys. He might have even got the one off James, I reckon. But I checked in with Daz after Croatia, and he had big props for Team GB and the way they went at it. I think nice. They've got form in that space. So
they got form in that space.
I remember, like, well, it was one of the things I remember when I moved over there. I was just like, how is it, like, globally Australians have this, like, pisshead reputation, and there's just 90% of the population are at the pub 90% of the time in England? And I'm just like, how do we have this reputation? You guys are absolute pissheads.
That's gold.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, very, very exciting. And look at you go. Just a double volunteer, mate.
I know. Can't get enough, mate. I'm the hardest volunteer there is.
Couldn't volunteer harder if you tried.
Nah.
All right. Should we wrap this up, or you got anything else to add?
Nah. I think that's it. Thanks for keeping me on track of my run sheet. I'm glad I sent it to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Nah,
you do this every week if you want.
I think that's my list.
Nice. All right, well, we got a bit of spotlight and not light to round us out.
Yes, I definitely do. I'm gonna go with my not light first.
Excellent.
My not light simply goes to as everyone who listens knows, I'm a maths teacher. I like me numbers, and my not light goes to any disc golfer out there that can't count. It's a part of our game. One comes before two, three comes after it. And there's a whole pattern that continues on and on and on for infinity, actually. And you kind of need to get your head around it if you're going to score yourself correctly on the disc golf course. And I've played a couple of rounds recently where I found a player that has definitely struggled with the counting side of things. And it's been hard to kind of keep on top of it. And the example I'll share with our listeners was, we're playing hole, 10... 11, 12, playing hole 13 at Inverley, par 4, Inverley Gold. Takes the right-hand backhand, barely gets out, throws one up around the hill, so on and so forth, eventually gets up to the green, taps it in. By this time, we're playing hole 13, and there's been some miscounting on a few holes earlier, so I'm counting every shot on this hole. Taps in and goes, whoa, saves a bogey. Straight away, I'm like, benefit of the doubt. I'm like, he's MA4 player, pretty new, probably thinks it's a par 5. I'm like, oh, sorry, mate. It's actually a par 4. Looks me dead back in the eye and goes, yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, okay. So you got a 5 there. And like, and that's how I'm out asking. He's like, oh, hang on. No, you're right. I probably got a 6. He got a fucking 7. I'm like, bro, you got a 7. And then he's going back, and he's got this counting style where he's trying to count the discs he threw. So he's going purple, yellow, blue, purple. I'm like, just, you took a 7. We got there in the end. But I'm not here for it. Damien, you're my not light this week. I think you need a better counting system, mate. Don't count your colors, count your actual throws. And I think you might have a bit more luck. Better luck next time.
Excellent. Hard to follow that. I've got nothing written down. There's no real disc golf this week. So it was hard for me to figure that out. What have I got? Not lights. I don't know. The spotlight, I'll go with a spotlight. I don't really have that either, but it was really cool to see so many people out playing Inverley. Ran into a bunch of different people. So that was, oh, now I've got a not light now too. It's unjustified, but I'm going to roll with it. but the spotlight, we've already given them a shout out, so I don't like overpraising people. But listen to the whole album for Narada
Oh,
or
yes.
one, whatever it was. I can't remember. It's dope. It's really good. I really enjoyed it. Like, there's a lot of good songs on it.
Nice.
Because I forgot about it, and then he was out playing, so I played the White 12 with him and Brett, and it's really good. So yeah, I'm sure you can still get the link up on well, maybe you can check the link up on our socials or something to his Spotify. Check out the album, but it's really good. I really enjoyed it.
Sick. Yeah, I will. Not sure if I already did. Maybe I didn't. So yeah, no, I'll do that again. That's the only problem with stories, they disappear. No one does posts. But yeah, I'll chuck that up in our story again. Yeah, I've listened to a couple of the tracks. I haven't got through the whole album myself yet. I'm led to believe there may be a disc golf line or two in a song thereabouts. Is that true?
Oh, it could be. There's a lot of words. So I don't, it's hard to listen to all of them. It could be. But I
All right,
know
I'm looking for that golden nugget, you know. I'm looking for that golden nugget. I want to hear a disc golf line dropped.
Loco is a good one. I really like Loco and Home. They were really good. Plus the one that he put out. He put the video out already. Can't remember what that's called, but that was really good. But yeah, all good. Definitely worth listening.
Beautiful. Spotlights for me. I obviously only had a not light on my running sheet because I didn't necessarily have a spotlight to go with. I will spotlight myself for my birdie on hole 7 at Mount Xavier. And I'll
Nice.
just actually, you know what? I'll spotlight the Ballarat Disc Golf crew. Mount Xavier is a treat. Every time I've been there's been volunteers there clearing acacia. Hole 9 in particular, you throw this big sky highs are over a world of acacia. And I didn't really think about it at the time, but actually for a lot of players, that's like trying to clear a lake. It's so much acacia down there. And they probably just simply can't clear that lake in a lot of incidents, scenarios. So the volunteers have been down there clearing it all out so that some of the newer players can obviously retrieve their discs, which is huge. And I've also just seen a photo on socials this morning that they've cleared an area for hole one's tee pad. And it's hard for me even to visualize where they've put it, to be honest. I didn't even know there was like a hole one in the making. I already love hole one's green. It's absolutely sensational. To be honest, I was already a big fan of the original hole one, but I think it's only going to be better. It's in the trees somewhere. And anyway, spotlight has to go to the Ballarat crew and all of the work they're doing at Mount Xavier. It's looking $1 million.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. My not light, and this is like I said, fully unjustified, but when the big boys don't perform, you gotta get after them, right?
Of course.
So I'm looking at the Invalid Gold scoreboard for last week on UDisc, and no
Yes.
surprises, Dylan Feldman's right at the top there with a 58, two
Boom.
clear of Paddy Robinson. Well, you said you shot, or Dazzles was even at, no, Dazzles was one under. So you're even at 64. So he's got you by 6 strokes. So Dylan there with a neg six.
Huge.
Gross. Very, very gross. But I can't see it now. Has he deleted it, or was it just before that? Dylan Feldman also punched out a what? A plus three?
Yeah, plus three. Yeah, he did it. Yeah, I think he just did it with some mates over Easter. I just found it on UDisc. I'm always keeping an eye on UDisc leaderboards. There's someone I'm about to go after in regards to UDisc leaderboards,
Yeah, I
but
love it.
I'm just
I was hoping this would bring this to your attention.
I'm just collecting more data. I'm collecting more data
Oh, okay.
on this one. I'm not bringing it to the airways yet, but look, I do keep an eye on UDisc leaderboards, and just let the listeners know I am watching. And Dylan found out the hard way that I'm watching, because yeah, I found a sneaky plus three from Dylan on Invalid Gold, which is yeah subpar. But then I noticed it was 1st of April, so I chucked it up on our socials, and just assuming that it was a pretty subtle but hilarious April Fool's joke from Dylan Feldman. He reshared it. And unfortunately, it wasn't an April Fool's. He did find a way to, maybe he found some of your trees and found his way to a plus three.
Yeah. Heat master. So, nah, good to know. And yeah, very deserving, not light. Dylan, you're trash.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a name out there that Chris is very skeptical that has some pretty hot rounds in Inverleigh. So we'll see. We'll see where he goes with that.
Inverleigh, yeah, but he's this player, this like he's also got through 9 holes a -7 at Mount Xavier.
Yep.
I just look forward to seeing how they perform at an upcoming
at the
league
Vic
day.
Open. Yeah, there you go.
A Vic Open, league day, anything. Nice. If it's to the contrary, I just look, it's not Riley Sanders, but it could be Riley Sanders behavior.
2.0.
Yeah. Well, didn't he put in like a -15 on UDisc or something stupid?
Something crazy.
And you were writing up the odds and you were like, anyone but Riley? Like,
yeah,
he didn't,
oh yeah.
And I don't think
never,
he even got
never
top 10.
Never met the kid before, just saw the scores. And I was like, oh man, this kid must be insane.
Yeah.
And yeah, but not for what we were thinking. He's still done one of the most nuts things I've ever heard of. You said he threw that cloud breaker down hole 5 or whatever it is to the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. No, he has. So. I've seen him do crazier things than that. He can throw it. Riley has skills. Can he go -15 at Inverleigh Gold? No.
No.
But does he have skills? Oh, yeah, that kid has skills.
Yeah, well, I just saw that there's actually a league day at Inverleigh on Sunday, so maybe that is what I'll aim for this weekend. So let's hope the rain holds out and I can get an early round in and then a league day round. That would be nice.
Nice.
Cool. All right, well, I should give a shout-out to Aaron. He came up with Aaron Picante Beans came up with me on Saturday, what it was, to play a bit of Inverleigh. He did the same as me, a couple rounds of the gold and then 12 on the whites. And then he went home and played Melton. And then he played Werribee the next day. He put like a million shots up this weekend. So good on him.
Ah, that is living.
Yeah, it's living. Oh, the rain looks pretty trash for Sunday. So I might have to take that one back. But we'll see how we go. Cool. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.